Hello and welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange, coming to you from Gadigal country. I'm Christine Gallagher, and the Wide Open Air Exchange is a place to meet people with fascinating vocations, interesting expertise, and special interests. Today, we're learning about impact measurement, which is a way that organisations collect evidence of the impact of their programs or projects, particularly in the social sector and for charities that fundraise through grant writing, who report to funding bodies or governments or other kinds of investors. But also something that corporations have taken an interest in this age of corporate social responsibility. To give us an introduction to impact measurement, our guest is Maxine Morrison, who's a Sydney Organising Committee member for SIMNA, that's the Social Impact Measurement Network Australia, and on the AMRI Research Impact Committee, it's the Association of Australian Medical Research Institutes. Maxine has done a lot of work in grant writing and impact measurement with qualifications in social impact from UNSW. So let's learn about impact measurement with Maxine Morrison. Maxine, welcome. Welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
This is great. If you were meeting someone at a dinner party for the first time and they heard that you had an interest in impact measurement, how would you explain what it is that you do?
This really stemmed from some of my grant writing experience, where the funders wanted to understand the impact of the project they were funding. And so impact measurement seeks to demonstrate or articulate the change that happens. So it can be for people, it could be for a program, it could be for an organization. But what you're trying to do is make the pathway of impact very clear and put indicators along that measurement pathway to demonstrate the change that you have created.
So I'm going to make some assumptions here and please correct them. I would assume that measuring impact is one of the last or final stages of a project that has had things that have come before it. So, for example, some kind of aims or goals, some kind of implementation, and then the impact measurement, I assume, is what you do at the end to see if you've actually achieved what you had set out to do.
It can be.
Okay.
And if you listen to some of the arguments in the sector, is it impact or is it evaluation? It is one and the same. I think if you were talking to someone who didn't understand it, you could say it isn't a type of evaluation. But for me, evaluation tends to happen at the end, as you're suggesting. You do something and then you measure it.
Yeah.
Quite the contrary with impact measurement. You can build impact measurement in from the design stage. So you're collecting data as and when things happen. And the beauty of it is if things are going not well or off course, then you have the data and you can change course.
Yeah.
During the program. It also collects information from all of the stakeholders. So whereas evaluation might be in looking at one element, the impact could potentially be broader.
So an ongoing assessment that allows you to adjust as you go, change course if you need, make adjustments, correct course during the process, as opposed to what I had assumed or described, which was an evaluation after the end.
Yeah. Typically, if you are setting out to measure impact, it's ideal that you would start with a framework. And so you can see what we call theory of change. If this happens, then that will happen. If that happens, then this will happen. And they're the sort of metrics that you're looking to collect and measure.
Can you say more about the theory of change? I know that was a really great introductory sort of statement to bring us in, but what more could you say about the theory of change?
I think this is what makes it unique for each thing you're trying to measure is the theory of change. So you're trying to outline what are the key tipping points, what's changing for who, and how can you collect that data. And so all your theory of change will be basically the cause and effect of each stage. And, you know, what activities do you need? What inputs do you need to make an output happen? And so you have activities, outputs, outcomes. And you may have heard a lot of government talk about outcomes measurement and pay for outcomes. And then you have impact, which is kind of the short, medium, and long-term effects of outcomes. So an example might be you provide a food van to homeless people and they will have a meal. But an outcome of that might be that they connect with a service provider. And then the impact of that might be that they actually go and see their dentist and get their medical assistance. And the long-term impact might be that they discover or are able to treat some other health issues. So that one activity where we used to just measure how many meals, we're now talking about what is the impact of that? What does it actually mean in a wider sense?
Thank you so much for the example, because that helps a lot also in distinguishing what it's not. So the impact is not just, not only what activities were achieved or done or undertaken or implemented, impact goes beyond that, because it's the broader benefits that come in addition to the outcomes.
Correct.
But Maxine, what do you think would be useful for people to hear about next as a sort of introduction to impact measurement?
It might be good to just go back a bit and understand where this has all come from. And people may have originally heard of it actually from the environmental scene. So you heard of environmental impact assessments. What is the impact of putting this bridge here or this building there? What is the impact? What's going to happen? And so governments, philanthropy, and not-for-profits started to query and also understand what are they doing and is it working? So we're all combined to do better for society, and we all do that in different ways. And, you know, government has its policies, not-for-profits have their missions, and philanthropy have their the reasoning why they raise funds, or, you know, what the original structure of their charity, how that's been set up. And so they need to ensure that they're actually solving the problem that they set out to solve. And so this idea of measuring outcomes has kind of taken a hold a little bit by government. So they have quotas and reports that they need social services to complete to continue to get funding. They need to see outcomes. They need to see clients. They need to see people in training courses, people out of prison. And it's sort of developed a little bit more further along now from that, because we understand that just measuring an outcome doesn't tell the full story. Mm-hmm. So it really became a bit more broader in the social sector. We can talk about social impact measurement. What are the social outcomes? What is the social impact of this program? And are we helping people? What is the difference that we're making? And then beyond that, we've sort of been building this impact into further mobilization of funding and capital into financial markets. And you talk about different impact bonds or impact measurement tools, such as impact investing. And so now the corporates like to have social responsibility, CSR, and they like to measure the impact, and they can report to their shareholders. And ideally, we will get more funding released for these really crucial problems in our society if we can measure impact. And now people are starting to understand that if I invest with positive social outcomes, that's actually better and for everybody than if I just hand over a check.
It sounds like it's been a necessary way to quantify what previously possibly have been things that have been qualitatively assessed or known. And, you know, as someone who my own kind of research background has been more in the qualitative analysis, I've come up against, in a way, skepticism about those methods, of particularly by people who are more compelled by numbers or by figures, about things being able to be, you know, replicable quantitative measurements. I do understand the value of data and direct measurement, but I suppose what I'm almost suppressing in a way is the part of me that sometimes is a bit frustrated that that is the only way that we can speak to policymakers and decision makers, is like to be able to have to measure these things in a way that they'll then be able to accept those outcomes have been worthwhile, when actually there are, that impact can exist and be evident without being able to collect the data. But I, perhaps that's why what you do is so important, because it's bridging between the understanding of impacts that exist before they're measured, but then also being able to translate that for policymakers, decision makers, people with the funding, to be able to satisfy them that the impact has, you know, has occurred.
Absolutely. And this has been a long bane of the charity sector for a long time, proving what they did, it worked. Mm. And they can see face to face that these people are affected by what's happened in the program. I think by taking it on a broader scale, we are getting a wider audience and they are starting to sit up and listen. And when it first sort of started, people were trying to do impact and they put out an impact report, but really it was just a glossy brochure with a few activities. But that doesn't cut the mustard anymore. You really have to have some rigor behind what you're doing. And that is hard because there's no one size fits all. There's no one way to do it. There are a lot of different ways to do things, and it really depends on the purpose of your organization and the purpose of the program as to which approach you take. We always say we don't want to try and reinvent the wheel. So if there's data that exists that shows indicators of the theory, then great, let's use that. But it might be the case that we do need to conduct interviews or do need to do case studies. And so it is a combination, and the best impact reports have a combination of both. A colleague of mine said once, it's just about putting a flag in the sand and say, this is where we are and this is where we'll want to go. And that is quite compelling to people to understand, oh, okay, they know where they're going. It's not just the same old shake the can, and to understand the steps it takes to get there. And that's what I see as the benefit of impact measurement, because it straddles strategy, but it's measuring more than just one outcome or one activity or output.
Maxine, what you were just describing brings to mind a previous guest on this program, Ross Dawson, who's a futurist and author. We were speaking about making predictions for the future, and he described the Bayesian concept of probability, the idea of imagining a future, putting a stake in the ground and predicting the sort of the probability of that future happening, and then collecting the data and then adjusting the prediction, the probability of the likelihood of that future as you collect more information as you go and as you collect more data. There's something about that sounds quite similar to what you were speaking about there, where you were sort of putting a stake in the sand.
It sounds like it.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of talk about impact. There's a lot of different definitions. Universities have another spin on it. But really, I think it can get overcomplicated and people find it frustrating because they don't know where to start. They don't know if they're doing it right. But now there's a lot of networks out there and there's a lot of great examples of how people have done things. And it does take time, and you've got to get a lot of stakeholder feedback and understand what it is you're trying to achieve, and then just try it. For me, the benefit is being able to tell the complete story. You can put in all the volunteer hours. You can put in all of the things that don't show up on the dollar bottom line. And so I think the theory of change method is the most broad and easy to apply method. Having a framework that understands activities, inputs, activities, outputs, outcomes, and impact. And there are other measures you might have heard of, the social return on investment. So PwC does this all the time. EY does it as well. And they measure the value of something, of the impact, and they bring it back down to, well, if I put $1 in, it will be worth $5 at the end. And so they put a value on each stage of the program and come out with this figure at the end. And that's another way to do it, so that people understand $1 invested returns $5 back. And it can be social good, or it can actually be financial. Most of the time it's social good. You know, keep someone out of prison, that saves money.
Just on that example, just so we don't lose it, how do you measure something that didn't happen, like someone not going to prison?
So when the sectors really merged and got this going was, I could say exactly, it could be 10 years ago, the SVA, Social Ventures Australia, put together one of the first social enterprise deals, and this idea of social enterprise, so that they say to the Good Start Early Learning program, and they had investors, and they had the actual facilities, and they had government. And that was, the three sectors came together, and it was based on a social enterprise. So the government was getting benefits from not losing those centres, because then they would have had all of these children with nowhere to go, and they would have had to pay more benefits. And another example is the social impact bond. And this is often paid, and people like SVA put together the bond structure. And so the finance people are getting involved here as intermediaries to create these products. But essentially, the investor will buy government bonds based on recidivism. So if they keep juveniles out of the justice system, then they're not actually wearing the cost of paying for that juvenile to be in jail. So that directly comes off the government budget. They do not have to pay for that person to be in jail, which is like $200,000 a year.
So
they have money.
I'm so sorry. I'm following most of what you're saying, but I think the piece that's missing for me, who is that the individual who hasn't gone to jail? How is that person determined to have been someone who could have gone to jail and hasn't? So how do you identify that person as being someone who because of the program or scheme or whatever it is, has not gone to jail?
Yeah. And this raises theoretical query about counterfactual.
Yeah.
So we only measure what would not have happened otherwise. Mm-hmm. So in a part of that social impact bond deal, there would have been other partners that had kids in a program already, and they would be the kids that they're measuring.
Yeah.
The impact of those kids being part of the program that kept them. The goal was to keep them out of going back to jail.
Because they were determined to be at risk.
Yeah.
Or had been to jail. So it's, yeah.
So
it's
in a particular program for a purpose.
You're listening to the Wide Open Air Exchange. We're learning about impact measurement with our guest Maxine Morrison. If, like me, you're someone who wishes that we would think about the benefits of people not going to jail, it's not just being about the amount of money that can be saved, but also the well-being of those people, we'll turn to that idea now. I imagine that maybe something that requires work because of the nature of working with data and numbers, that efforts may need to be made to also be keeping in mind that a lot of the time you may be speaking about human beings, human impact, and that people don't necessarily want to be quantified. That and so I imagine it's a difficult balance to get, where the decision makers, policy makers, funders want things to be quantifiable, but often you're speaking about humans and their lives. And is there a way that you turn those numbers into more of a narrative, or you know, can you translate it so that you're not talking about people in terms of numbers and figures and data?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the really great part about it, what I love. It's the storytelling. So here's a situation and here's what happened, and this is the end result. Very much so. You know, people have been toying with wellbeing indexes, and the latest, I keep alluding to this, but Measure What Matters report is really trying to shift the dial on only relying on numbers, because they're not telling us the full story. And that's why this language of impact is so helpful. And it's really, a lot of people get a little shy of it or scared, but it's, for me, it's the color in the picture. You know, the data is only part of it. And by talking about all of the things that happened, not just one number, you are also helping people understand your work better and what was involved.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And just going back to the example that you gave earlier about, I think you said, let's say it was a homeless person who'd engaged with a food bank program, and then through that had then been connected to other services, health services. Does that mean that part of impact measurement, is it a cyclical process that the first time you do it, you're looking for the greater impact, and you might then find that those connections to services and help, and you know, getting your teeth checked or something like that has been part of the impact. Do you then repeat the process, and when you come back to it the second time, let's say, you know to look for those things again, and so you're re-measuring them, and or are you saying, well, has there been a different impact this time? Or I'm just getting a sense of that iterative process that might happen with impact measurement.
Yes. One of the speakers at the SIMNA Awards nodded to this, and I think it is the most effective way to measure anything, is you started here, and then you make the timing. Could be every year, every 2 years, every 3 years. You continue to measure. And certain industries will be suited to certain things better. You know, some industries, it's a real, the long game, you really do see a lot of outcomes and long-term impacts. But in your example, I would say, well, you create the theory of change. You need to understand, are you measuring the organization? Are you measuring the program? I don't think you can really do an impact measurement on one person unless they're doing really amazing things. I think you would evaluate their progress based on a number of other attributes. So let's say you're doing it on the organization, or the program is probably more typical, because organizational level impact is hard because there's a lot of departments trying to do different things. So if you're doing it on the program level, then yes, you would come back and measure the program again the next year. And people would either be participants or not be participants. The identification of data is a big issue. So you'd have to question if you were going to collect individual data and how you would monitor if it was the same person or not. Having said that, wouldn't it be great to see the progress of that person in 5 years or 10 years? And so that's also the benefit of regular impact reporting, that you do capture. If you're doing it programmatic level, then you should be capturing an increased level of impact for this cohort.
Similar to the medical banks that they have in the UK and China, where it's a long-range study where the same people give their health information year after year, and it's monitored over, there's a temporal study, is monitored over a long time, and then all of that information is available to researchers to access, to be able to have a look at trends over time.
Yes.
Something similar is possible with impact measurement.
Yeah. I think, again, the techniques and the frameworks and the way you do it is all very adaptable to the circumstance and to the purpose. What you want to be capturing is the change, and what was the consequence and effect of your program or the intervention or whatever it is you're trying to do, because we want to see change and we want to decrease disadvantage.
Thank you so much for giving us a more of a window into what you do and what is impact measurement. I'm keen to learn more, and it's been really good to chat, so thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Maxine Morrison for that introduction to impact measurement, which is a concept that was very new to me. So I appreciate having learned something new today, which is great. Thank you, Maxine. As someone who volunteers at a community radio station, I think it's this interesting idea about being able to measure impact, because I know there's benefits to being a volunteer and being a part of the community, having a sense of social connection and things like that, that I'd be interested to know how those sorts of things are being measured. I'm sure they've found a way. I've certainly heard about, you know, as Maxine mentioned, their wellness indexes and happiness measurements and all of those sorts of things I'm aware of existing. So I guess that's all related to impact measurement. I'll leave it there for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you know anyone who might be interested in this conversation, please let them know. It's available via the Wide Open Air Exchange podcast, or you could send them to wideopenairexchange.com. Maybe you'd like to share the link with them yourself. You'll find it there. I want to thank Vape Dads for letting me use this beautiful track, Whiskey Priest, as the theme music for the Wide Open Air Exchange. And I'll be back with another conversation really soon. Bye.